What do you get when three comic and entertainment enthusiasts join together to discuss the topics that interest us all? Something that is truly larger than life. What's on the page?
On the screen?
And on our minds? Is front and center here on Larger Than Life with Dan Totora and co-hosts TJ Yeldon and Brian Yeldon.
We are here at the Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora, booth 1878, inside of New York Comic Con. Proudly brought to you by Carvel, America's freshest ice cream. TJ, do you like use of Carvel?
I do. I am very much a fan of the ice cream cake.
Yeah.
It has been my my pick of ice cream cakes since I was a kid. And my birthday is next weekend, and I think I'm going to have me an ice cream cake for my birthday.
Do you like to design your own, or do you like one of the ones they have?
I mean, I've always just, I've bought them at the grocery store. I've bought them at actual Carvel locations. I'm very much a fan of the cookie inside.
The cookie crunch?
The cookie crunch.
Yeah. Some people will literally just buy, the crunch. They'll ask to just buy,
the bits. I like the crunch. I think there should be a little more crunch sometimes, but it's very good.
Do you know that if you go to, Carvel, DeWitt, Central New York, and obviously around the country, Carvel can do this, but you can actually have them scoop you the Carvel ice cream cake, and you can have the cake as a sundae, and it has the crunch, and it has the frosting, it has everything.
That sounds like a delicious idea.
It's absolutely amazing. So another delicious idea and a great idea is Carvel's Fresh Wheel of Giveaways, which we've been doing here for the first couple days of New York Comic Con, and we'll do it for the next couple as well. All throughout the con, we're here at booth 1878. You like the page, Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora on Facebook. You get to spin the wheel. Everyone's guaranteed a prize. And obviously, we're doing live shows all throughout. So the topic of this one is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but we're also going to talk about a few other things, kind of life behind the scenes for TJ and, selling and being at cons. We've talked about this before. So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., though, I'm a huge fan. I know that you've watched bits and pieces, but TJ's smiling right now because you've given it a shot, and it didn't really, it didn't capture you. What didn't capture you?
Well, I was a huge fan of season one. I ended season one saying to myself, this potentially could be the best show on television.
Okay.
Then all of a sudden we are introduced to season two. There's a bunch of new cast members. Some of the other old cast members aren't as relevant. Kind of lost me, and I jumped off the bandwagon. But just recently, I've kind of picked up with the Ghost Rider, the new series, which has turned out to be pretty good.
Yeah.
I've watched the first, I think, two episodes.
There's only been two so far, because there was the vice presidential debate, so there was not the third yet.
So it was good. I'm not going to say great, but I think they did a good job with the special effects with Ghost Rider. I mean, he looked very, very scary.
Yeah. I think it's interesting because he almost looks metallic, or and his jaw is different. I'm just picking up little things from the Nicolas Cage Ghost Rider skull to what this one looks like. It looks like more like a robotic metallic skull. I think it's good for television, though. It doesn't look like cheesy, how sometimes some movies on or TV shows, they don't have the budget, so they don't do it correctly. But I like it. I never knew the character, or the actor that plays the Ghost Rider on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Never knew them before. And knowing them, seeing him now, I can honestly say that, he's an actor that I'm intrigued by. And when somebody plays a role after never knowing an actor, and you can almost stop and say, okay, I want to meet this guy. I want to shake their hand. I want to be around him. I feel like the guy playing the Ghost Rider is doing a heck of a job so far.
Yeah, I agree. I think he did a good job. He looked like he was very serious about his role. you can definitely tell it in the performance. I wasn't a huge fan of the car being replaced of the motorcycle. So, it kind of threw me off. It's a cool-looking car, but it, in no way, shape, or form replaces the motorcycle, which, I don't know. I mean, I'm used to it.
I feel like we will see the motorcycle. I think it's whatever the Ghost Rider is in, whatever the spirit is in, catches fire. So I think eventually something's going to happen in this car. It's going to blow up, or it's going to get in a crash, or something's going to happen, and we'll see him on the bike. I think the bike is going to happen.
Are we going to see him on a crotch rocket?
Yeah, we'll see him on a little crotch rocket.
Or maybe he's going to be on a Vespa, like a Vespa.
I would love to see him set like a VW Bug on fire.
I want to see a Vespa scooter on fire.
I want to see a Fisher-Price scooter on fire, where he has to physically wheel it to go after the people. Now, we have not seen the pennant stare, though. We have not really seen the pennant stare.
We've seen your soul.
Yeah, we've seen him look and these people evaporate, but we haven't seen the Nicolas Cage stare at you uncomfortably for 2.5 minutes and then like do that like long finger point where it took him like an hour, and then he was like, and then he had to talk. The spirit had to like tell you that you were bad. This guy seems to just stare at you, and you know that you're bad, and then you're gone. Do you like this version more than, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I mean, in comparison, parallel, did you like anything from Nicolas Cage in his version of Ghost Rider that you haven't seen?
Well, let's be honest, the Ghost Rider movies sucked. That's why they bombed in the theater.
Yeah.
They didn't do well on DVD. Nobody really liked or cared about Nicolas Cage playing a superhero. So no matter how bad or good it was going to be better.
You know, I definitely think that this was a good character to use. They kind of teased it at the end of season 3 when you see the one Inhuman bring he has the chain in his hand, and he brings the chain back, and the chain sets on fire really slowly, and it swings forward, and people thought that this could be Ghost Rider, but that wasn't the character. So do you feel like maybe, I mean, we're not the writers of this, but could it be that they actually saw this and they saw that moment and they saw the social media saying, oh my God, that chain on fire looks like Ghost Rider, that maybe they didn't have the idea before and they created it? Because there really wasn't anything leading up to Ghost Rider. It's like it just happened.
Yeah, I kind of jumped off the bandwagon on season 2 and season 3. And now that we're on season 4, I don't quite understand what's going on, because I was kind of out of the picture. But in season 1, it was all about trying to figure out who and what Skye is and who her parents were. Now, is she still a relevant part of the show, or is she even part of the show?
Yeah, Skye is a huge part of the show. I mean, she's Quake now, and she's Daisy, but, you know, she is now, at the end of that second episode of season 4, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. Ghost Rider, she's essentially teaming up with the Ghost Rider. And they're promoting this as, like, there's Quake, and there's Ghost Rider, and they're kind of like these rebels. They're your vigilantes, so you're going to have this vigilante justice running around outside of the confines of S.H.I.E.L.D.
So Quake, or Skye, or whatever you want to call her, she not part of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. anymore?
No, she is not with them. There's no, I mean, they wanted to bring her back, and obviously Coulson's always going to have a fatherly feel toward her, but she doesn't want to come back. And Matt kind of found that out, where he was like, oh, you know, let me get you something, because when you use your powers, you know, you break bones and you hurt yourself, and he kind of finds out that she's been getting the medicine herself, and so they've been searching around for her, and she's been, like, under their nose the entire time.
So how does she, without being a part of the show, how is she part of the show? I mean, she's not part of the team, then what makes her a major part of the show?
Because she's one of the main characters. She was one of the beginning characters, and S.H.I.E.L.D. right now is S.H.I.E.L.D. again. They have re-entered as S.H.I.E.L.D. because now under the Sokovia Accords, you have to register, if you have powers. So the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. was Coulson. He was the director. And he decided to step down and essentially put somebody in who's an Inhuman. And this Inhuman actually takes up the mantle of Captain America at one point in the comic books. It's very interesting. But he has superhuman strength, but nobody knows he's Inhuman right now except for Coulson. So there's an Inhuman running S.H.I.E.L.D.
Wow, that's pretty intense. Yeah, they're doing some cool things, you know. I don't know if it's as good as the Flash universe or the Netflix Daredevil universe, but I do like it. You know, I mean, I'll have to give it a fair shake this season, and you know, I mean, if the other episodes are as decent as the first one or two, then maybe I'll keep watching.
But you know, Gabriel Luna, he's the one that plays Ghost Rider, Robbie Reyes, and he's been good. He's been a very strong character so far, and been very, very enjoyable character. So I look forward to it, and I look forward to the panel. And you can trust that Saturday morning of New York Comic Con, we're going to have a discussion about everything we learned, because we will be able to watch episode 3 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Ghost Rider. We're going to watch it tonight for the panel. And I'll be talking about it tomorrow. It will not be on television until next Tuesday.
So you're going to go to the panel tonight and watch the episode?
Yeah, I'm going to go to the panel tonight after the con closes. The panel will be going on, and I will be watching the full episode of episode 3 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
What time does the panel start?
7:30.
7:30, okay. Yeah. Cool. So anybody that's at Comic-Con that wants to go see the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. before the debuts on television.
Oh, there's still space, yeah.
Yeah.
Jump in there. But we did it early morning. We got our badges scanned and everything. And
you already registered.
I already registered and registered at like 10 a.m.
Wow.
And I'm really, really excited about this. I love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I've been a fan since the first episode. And I was hoping, see, you watched the whole season one. People were kind of like, give us more. And then I thought they took the constructive criticism, made season two more like a movie. And bringing the Inhumans in, I mean, they can't use the X-Men. They can't use mutants. So to have the Inhumans on television where they've never been in a movie, and to have Ghost Rider where he was not in a good movie, you know, I think that it really brings a lot to the show. And I'm very surprised they used Ghost Rider, because I didn't expect it. But they also moved from 9 p.m. Eastern time to 10 p.m. so that they could be darker and more violent with the Ghost Rider.
Carvel Ice Cream, America's freshest ice cream, is the proud presenting partner of Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora's live broadcasting booth inside of New York Comic Con from October 6th to the 9th, right here in 2016. Come and see us, hear our broadcast, and try your luck with the Carvel Ice Cream Fresh Wheel of Giveaways. Got to like the page on Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora on Facebook, and then you have an opportunity to spin the wheel right here in the Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora live broadcasting booth, doing shows all throughout New York Comic Con 2016 about the heroes, the villains, the shows, the characters, everything that you love in the world that we're all proud to live in. All thanks to America's freshest ice cream. There's nothing like a Carvel memory. Share one today by going to your local Carvel. Carvel Ice Cream, America's freshest ice cream, and the proud partner of Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora.
Yeah, it's funny that they use Ghost Rider, because he normally doesn't fit into the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or the S.H.I.E.L.D. Universe. Like, you'll never, it's not often that you read a comic where it's based around S.H.I.E.L.D. that you're ever going to encompass Ghost Rider. Normally, Ghost Rider will be more in the, either in his own realm, doing his own thing, with his own villains, or he'll be integrated with Daredevil and Hell's Kitchen and that whole group. So, I mean, I've never seen him work hand-to-hand with S.H.I.E.L.D. I could be wrong, but it's not something that I'm used to. Normally, S.H.I.E.L.D. is all about business. It's about real life. They obviously deal with humans, but a lot of it's either intergalactic, or it's like it's man created, like a super soldier serum, or you don't really see much spiritual or like mystical stuff with S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, and everybody's coming up to you know, with Robbie Reyes, it's like, you know, Daisy says to him, or Quake, or Sky, you know, three different names, but she goes up to him and she's like, well, I understand this, you know, don't be afraid of who you are. And he's like, well, what am I? And she's like, you're inhuman. He goes, that's not what I am. And she's like, okay, well, maybe you call yourself something different, but that's what we are. And he's like, I don't understand what you mean. And she's like, we have powers, don't be afraid of it. So she doesn't know he's not inhuman. I mean, he is literally, he made a deal with the devil, and he has a spirit of vengeance inside of him that is supposed to punish bad souls. And so she's under the impression he's inhuman, and so he is this other element of the show. You have humans in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., then you have inhumans, and now you have a spirit that made a deal with the devil. It's a very different element.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see the direction it goes. The character Ghost Rider is a very, very powerful character. They don't really use him as much as they could, because A, he doesn't always fit into the Marvel Cinematic Universe as fluid as other characters, and then two, he's extremely powerful to the point where it's almost one-sided and not fair.
This is our show. We have a free show. You can listen at any time.
Dan is currently talking to some future listeners of the podcast.
And, you know, so I mean, I obviously think that it's a good show, but like you alluded to, Marvel Knights is what Ghost Rider is. Daredevil is on Netflix, Punisher is on Netflix, but Ghost Rider is on ABC. Never something that you would expect, but, you know, I don't know how he fits in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because it's all about comedy. It's all about making things lighter, and Ghost Rider is not a light character at all.
Well, that's why he's not utilized nearly as much. A lot of times he's on a... he's all by himself. He definitely doesn't work well on a team, as you can say.
Absolutely, and I do want to ask, before we finish up this conversation, TJ, on the behind-the-scenes, the toy side of things, how has New York Comic Con been for you, and what do you feel is a big sell? What do people like this year?
This year, so far, we're on track to break every record we've ever had. We've definitely got a better booth placement this year, and we're having a lot of fun. Met some new people, and I think it's going to be a record-breaking turnout for the Comic-Con itself. I like it. I'm very, very happy to be here. We do have two more days to go, and obviously it's hard to predict what you don't know, but based on what we've already been doing, things are looking good, very positive, and my feet are tired, my ankles hurt, but, you know, it's all worth it in the end.
So you've been enjoying it, you've been having fun, and Gremlins are doing well. Gremlins are almost done.
Everything's doing well.
A lot of good stuff.
Like I said, by the end of today, we might be at the point where we were last year at the 4 days, which is amazing.
That's absolutely insane in a great way, but I mean, it's a true testament to hard work. You know, the show, Larger Than Life with Dan Totoro, wasn't sitting here last year with a live booth, and your booth, so much more. I mean, you had great products last year, and it looks like it's like quadruple the product, a lot of space for people to walk around, and, you know, I mean, it's really an honor to be here. I mean, it's an honor for all of us to be here.
I didn't have my brother with me last year. You know, obviously, he's been a huge help, and, you know, he's, him and me together work well together in regards to, you know, being productive. So, yeah, we're happy. We're going to get back to work and see what we can do to finish out the day. And hopefully it looks like it's going to be a winner.
Absolutely. Well, for TJ Yeldon and Brian Yeldon here with Larger Than Life Toys and Comics, myself, Dan Totoro, you know all three of our voices on Larger Than Life with Dan Totoro. This has been the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. conversation, as well as talk from behind the scenes of selling toys, comics, collectibles, and all different things. So, you know, TJ, Brian, and I, we all appreciate all that you do. Come see us, booth 1878. Come by any of your favorite things, and then come spin the Carvel America's Freshest Ice Cream Fresh Wheel of Giveaways. I want to thank Carvel for all that they do in presenting Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora. And booth 1878 is the place to be. You can get t-shirts as well and so much more. So, you know, TJ, as always, thank you. And, you know, the three of us are making history here, and it feels pretty damn good.
All right. I second that. Sounds good.
I'll talk to you soon.